A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm John Norman and alongside Jared Kimber, bringing you immediate reaction every time England play. Well, I mean, I'm just going to stop talking because there's so much action to get through today. 14 wickets, plenty of incident, a fumble here or there, some good bowling, some poor batting. It's been an incredible day's play at Old Trafford and I'm pleased that me and Jared can talk to you about it. So, you know by now that England somehow still in this contest, just 137 for 8 Pakistan at stumps, 14 wickets falling in the day, only one of them in the morning session. How that even happened, I don't know. But essentially, England got to lunch, 159 for 5, and then it was carnage all the way through. Bowled out for 219, all 6 wickets going the way of spin for England. Yasir Shah taking 4 and Shadab Khan taking 2. England trailing by 107 runs. They looked out of it, but it's Pakistan and it's England. And so they're not just about ending up 137 for 8. So a lead in excess of 240. Where's your money? Let's find out.
Story of the day.
So, Jared, story of the day. I mean, it's just been wicked. You know what? It reminded me, for some reason, I remember Peter English.
I do remember Peter English. He was the Australian editor of Crick Info.
Right. So in 2010, I was out in Australia where we met. And it was at Adelaide. And I got really giddy with excitement when Australia were 2 for 3 in the English sense of 2 for 3. And I remember just bounding up to Peter English and he had been there, seen it, done it kind of look on his face, didn't he? And actually kind of walked away from the game not that far afterwards. And I remember saying to him, you know, after all the years of watching cricket, you know, what is it that you still love about the game? And he just paused for a second, kind of looked into the middle distance, then fixed his eyes on me and just said, wickets. Well, he would have loved today, 14 of them. Is that the story of the day? Two teams that can't really bat very well, but can bowl very well. And the fact that they're both kind of still in it, although I do have a feeling this time tomorrow when Pakistan wrap up comfortable victory, we'll look back and realise that actually England weren't in it at all.
I mean, it's such a bizarre day because Pope and Butler looked completely out of their depth. It's the first time I've looked at Pope and just been like, maybe he's not quite as good as I thought he was. And like he's still gone on to make runs, so you've got to respect that. But the bowling, to be fair, the bowling quality, and this is the problem with being a batsman in world cricket now. I saw someone today saying, you can't judge Butler too harshly because of the era that the bowlers he had to go up against. And I'm like, well, that's almost every team has bowlers like that at the moment. And that was, you know, incredible pressure that they kept on. I still don't know how Mohammad Amas didn't get a wicket in that spell. Also, just that point where he just starts bowling big hooping outswingers as well, as if to go, in case you weren't aware, I actually have this skill. I can do this as well. I just don't generally do it because I don't need to. So, yeah, I think the story of the day is that both teams have come in with weakened batting lineups and improved bowling attacks, although we can get to England's improved bowling attack in a minute. When it comes down to it, they're just very flawed teams with incredible bowling lineups. You only have to go through the misfields of England and then the run out of Asad Shafiq to be like, I mean, England could bowl out Pakistan for 140 and yet fielded dreadfully. Like, the amount of balls that went straight through their fielders and drop catches, and they were terrible. it's fun. It's a fun farce, which the generally farces tend to be fun. I think as a rule,
we mentioned the different tactics that the two teams employed. Was Dominic Bess a player that we both rate highly, but we are also aware is probably some way off the bowler he will one day become? Was he shown up a little bit today?
I'm not sure how highly I rate him. I think he's.
I'm not expecting him to turn into Murali, but you know, for some, look, a lot of professional sport is about belief and confidence, and of course, ability plays a big part in that. Don Bess is a young man. If he's allowed to play, he can become a good off spinner for England. You know, look at Graham Swann, where he was at Dominic Bess's age. Who knows where he could come? But as things stand today, when you line him up against Yasir Shah, who of course is a completely different type of bowler, but is crucially at a different stage of his career, was that gulf pronounced today in ways that maybe it hasn't been in the past?
See, I wouldn't line him up against Yasir Shah. I'd line him up against Shadab Khan, because they're both in the team as all-round talents, aren't they? And Shadab Khan basically wasn't needed with the ball, but when he was, bowled really, really well. Look, I don't know where I am with Dominic Bess, because he's not the first choice spinner at his county side. I think this whole idea that he can be an all-rounder, unless they think averaging 17 in Test cricket, I think he averages 25, 26 at the moment. I don't think that's going to keep up. They seem to like his, I don't know, what's the word? Schutzpah? I mean, yeah. they kind of seem to like his energy. I've seen people say things like that. I talked to Oliver Brett, who used to work for the BBC, and he's like, don't you just think he's got something about him? And I was like, I just think Jack Leach is a better bowler. I don't know what Jack Leach had to do. Look, it's an interesting one. I think, though, when it comes down to it, that's, you know, again, we're talking about the bowlers, you know, a potential bowler being the problem, whereas I think you can look quite closely at both of these teams and suggest that bowling is not the problem for either team. I mean, I don't think Dominic Bess is a poor bowler by any means. It just happens to be that I think there are better options, and I'm not sure they needed to go with him. But when it comes down to it, yeah, bowling ain't the problem here.
Moment of the day.
Well, there were so many moments of today. I think...
No, there's only one.
What, Jos Buttler missing those byes?
There's one moment of the day. There is Ben Stokes, who England had selected their entire team around the fact he wasn't going to bowl, which meant they have weakened their batting lineup. And then Ben Stokes bowls, and he doesn't look fully fit to me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm projecting. Who knows? And then he takes a wicket. It's all to play for. He is, and I've said this before, Jason Holder might be a better cricketer at the moment, but because of the role that Ben Stokes plays, he is the player who could transform his team the most out on the field. I just think they would have taken those wickets even if he had to have come on. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, I thought it was a huge risk, but again, Ben Stokes, cometh the man, cometh the hour, all of those cliche, picks up the wickets and does what he does. That's the moment of the day. Everything else you're going to say after I finish talking is wrong. Except for Ben Stokes' drop, which was also potentially the moment of the day.
I was just about to mention Ben Stokes' drop. I mean, where do you start with all the other moments today? there was Jos Buttler's dismissal and Shane Warne's refusal to blame him for missing a straight one. There was the rejuvenation, continued rejuvenation of Stuart Broad. He came in and just smashed it around. And then when Pakistan batted, there was Shan Masood. I mean, that is cricket in a nutshell, isn't it? You know, he was a bit chancy in his first innings, but went on to smash 156, and then he's caught down the leg side for a duck. I mean, that is cricket in an absolute nutshell. What was Arbid Ali doing, by the way, trying to take on Don Bess in his first over on the sweep and just smashing it straight to Chris Wokes?
I think that was actually much better bowling. I almost have that as my ball of the day. I don't, so we're okay. But I almost had that as my ball of the day just because I think if there's anything to like about Don Bess, it's that he, I think he has some technical flaws perhaps, and I'm not sure that he understands his game well enough to be a frontline spin at test level, but he is a very good thinker. And I actually thought he outthought Abid Ali at that point. But yeah, I don't know why he was playing that shot.
There was a good tweet as well about going back to the Ben Stokes drop catch. And this is a problem with back-to-back test matches. If you are your star all-rounder is your star all-rounder, he's going to be tired. We had this problem a few years ago, didn't we? When England just kept dropping catches. And some people believe it's lack of training. Some people believe it's confidence. Some people, like I believe, it's just tiredness. If you are on the field as batsman bowler for 7 hours a day playing test cricket, when is the time that your brain's going to switch off? It's going to be when you're fielding, surely. And, you know, it's not the first time that Ben Stokes has dropped a catch. As Dave Ticknor on Twitter said, he's not a great catcher. He's a taker of great catches. I think that summed it up pretty well.
He's a very interesting slip fielder because he basically, because of his athleticism, gives you a slip fielder and a half, right? And there aren't many guys in the history of the game. Ricky Ponting was probably another one who do that because they can move to... Ross Taylor was a brilliant slip fielder. Ross Taylor didn't move. Mark Taylor was a brilliant slip fielder. Whereas Mark Waugh could stretch the slips out the way Andrew Strauss could as well. So he actually does give you more protection in the slips. But I think it's quite clear, and I think we might have done something on TalkSport during the South African series. His catch percentage, and I think Roots as well, they're both below average, I think, for slip fielders. I always wonder if New Zealand and England slip fielders have a lower catch percentage just because they have more options. They just come to them more often. But... yeah, he's not catching them, is he?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Shot of the day.
Abid Ali. I mean, he doesn't look like a man who's ever going to play shot of the day. And you can probably argue that I'm wrong here, but he played a back foot drive off Jimmy Anderson where it's like, if you ended his career now, he'd be telling his grandkids about that for the rest. He would be taking them through Jimmy Anderson's record, the fact it was in England, in Manchester, you know, the Jimmy Anderson end. I don't think it was a Jimmy Anderson end, but in his story, it would be the Jimmy Anderson end. And he just punched it perfectly. And what I liked is it looked like a cricketer who wasn't that, who isn't, he doesn't look like Babar Azam, for instance. He looks like a cricketer getting the most out of himself. I'll put it this way. I think this is the nicest thing I can say. It was like a Chris Rogers or Paul Collingwood shot where like it, you need to have played first-class cricket for 10 years to get to a level where you could play that shot when you're not the most talented player ever. That said, Mohammed Rizwan, who I really like, and I was a bit annoyed when he went out because I thought he could do some really interesting things in that innings. A really good first-class record, very similar to a first-class record of Ben Folkes. The straight drive he played was quite good. He's got that great busy keeper energy, but not in the sort of madcap way that Sarfraz Ahmed had it, like in a really good, I'm going to get stuff done. It's a really good straight drive. So those are my shots of the day.
Ball of the day.
Well, there's an obvious contender. It was the ball that dismissed Ollie Pope. You talked about his reaction yesterday when the first ball that Nassim Shah being the bowler today, bowled that delivery, which just cut away from him. And he kind of looked and thought, well, how do I play that? He had the same kind of look. It was a length delivery and it just reared up, took the glove, and, you know, it was nearly dropped at gully because I think the fielder was surprised as well. Shadab Khan, I think it was. Nassim Shah, for me, I just love watching him bowl. I can't always work out what he's trying to do. I think, you know, they keep talking about he keeps bowling it into the pitch. He is essentially wanging it down there, and the ball is just doing whatever the ball's doing. I'm not sure he knows exactly what he's trying to do at times himself, but boy, oh boy, he's gonna take some serious wickets in this series. 1 for 44 is not reflective of how he bowled in that innings.
No, I mean, to be fair, I think all three seamers probably deserve better figures than they got. It's kind of funny in the end that Yasir Shah took all the wickets because I thought Yasir Shah bowled well, but we talked about it already. That first session, how Jos Buttler survived through that first session. I mean, how anyone did. Chris Wokes was it was ridiculous. I mean, you're never going to see a better case of he ain't a number seven than that. And I, you know, it's a ridiculous situation. And this is when, you know, this idea that you could stretch the batting lineup against a bowling lineup like Pakistan is just, it's nonsensical. But I thought they bowled brilliantly, and certainly Nassim Shah did. I mean, Mohammad Abbas bowled a wobble seam leg cutter to Jos Buttler. It was wrong. It was just wrong. Yeah, I thought they bowled great. I think that, you know, some of Yasir Shah's wickets deserve to be mentioned. I thought the way he got rid of Buttler was brilliant. Warne was talking about natural variation. I don't think it was natural variation. I hate to correct Shane Warne on leg spin, but I think he just took the revs off that ball a little bit looking at the replay. And in fact, in one stage, Warne seemed to say that before going back and saying it was natural variation. And the wicket of that took off the pitch as well from Yasir Shah. There were some good wickets today, weren't there?
There were some good wickets today. There were some good wickets yesterday. Do you know what? I don't think we even mentioned the Mohammad Abbas off-cutter, which dismissed Dominic Sibley, which he missed by probably about 8 or 9 inches, and then reviewed it, which, even though Joe Root did seem to be saying, whatever you do, Dominic, do not review that.
Talking about all the good balls, I do want to make a special mention of Azhar Ali, who obviously at one stage had worked himself up to be one of the best batsmen in the world and has now worked himself back down. I mean, he was a bit like Steve Smith. He's a leg spinner who made it as a batsman. I think he should take up leg spinner again because I'm not sure the batting's working for him. He missed a straight half volley. And the thing is, I don't know if you saw, so Sky kept saying he's got this problem with his head and he falls over and he misses the straight ones. And they're right. They're 100% right. So I looked up his record, and he averages 8 when the ball is on a length outside off stump. Where's his strengths, John? It's not where do you bowl to him. It's where don't you bowl to him at this point. You'd be confused as a bowler. Like, if you're an analyst, you literally have to say, just pick one or the other. Don't go for both. Just pick one or the other. It's ridiculous. I feel so sorry for him because, people with short memories, but he can bat. He was an incredible player. I saw him in Australia and in England bat incredibly. He missed the straight half volley. You shouldn't even be able to appeal for those balls.
Lol of the day.
It feels like that was the lol of the day. Have I gone too early? I haven't gone too early because Asad Shafiq ran himself out in such a fourth innings, we're going to lose this game way, despite the fact it was the third innings, of just like, I'm going to hit the ball roughly to the right hand of this fielder. My kids have been sort of coming in and out during these tests because, you know, they're at home and stuck with us, so they have to watch some cricket. And I've been teaching them things. And one thing I teach them in the backyard is one of my boys is left-handed and my other boy hits the ball straight to his left hand and runs. And I say to him over and over again, hit it to his right-handed run. And if you don't know, then you hit it to their left-handed run. Asad Shafiq hit the ball to a right hand of an international fielder and ran. Why would you do that? I don't understand.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Jos Buttler's, he let 4 overthrows go in the first over of Pakistan's innings, didn't he? And it's just getting to that point where, you know, it was kind of funny, obviously, but it was just after Sky, completely straight-faced, had done a little package on how brilliant Mohamed Rizwan and his keeping had been, and they showed Shane Dowrich getting slapped in the face, and they didn't even mention Butler, and then that happened. That was a little bit of a lull.
Yeah, I mean, Rizwan did miss one as well, but the one that Rizwan missed, it was poor, but he had taken so many incredible takes to that point that you're just like, oh, that's fair. And there was another one too where there was the court behind, it looked like there was an edge on the inside edge that England went up for. It went straight into his gloves and he just clanged it. I mean, in basketball, we call it a brick. It really needed cymbal sound effects at the end. And you just like, oh, once it doesn't matter if it's Azar Ali or Joss Butler. Once it gets to that point, you just like, every time they cut to one of those guys, I remember they cut to the change room after Azar Ali was out. And Sean Masuda just made it dark. Ajay Masood's on the outside of the balcony laughing and, you know, getting along. This is before the major collapse happened, to be fair. And behind him, Azar Ali just looked bereft. And you're just like, oh, boy. And you do feel for these people. There is nowhere to hide. The camera is going to find Joss Butler and Azar Ali. And that's just what it does. And it's part of the theatre of the game. It's just sometimes you don't want to be the punchline. Most of the times you don't want to be the punchline. It's very rare you want to be the punchline, John.
Anodyne press conference moment of the day.
Anodyne press conference moment of the day. Step forward, England's star all-rounder, batting number 7 guru with an average of 25, Chris Wokes.
You know, we know we had to get out there and put in a good performance with the ball for have any sort of chance of chasing down a score in the fourth innings. You know, I think we couldn't have bowled much better, really, in terms of getting the mount down. Obviously, you know, really important that we get two cheaply in the morning at some point. But, you know, from as far as the session could go, we're, you know, really pleased with how it went.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
What did we say was going to happen on day 3? I believe we said that, I think we were quite accurate in what happened with England.
Didn't we say, I can't remember.
I'm pretty...
Because I'm now confused because of your wickets thing from the other day. But I said I thought there'd be one early wicket and then they might be able to plod through. Because I thought the pitch was good. And I think that kind of held up. It's just that Pakistan bowled incredible. But England did. If the pitch was any more helpful, I don't think there's no way they wouldn't have lost 4 wickets before lunch. But I think it had flattened out just a little bit at that point. And I think it was a good time to bat. But Pakistan were just so brilliant with the ball that it didn't matter.
Yeah, I think we were kind of accurate with our summary of how England would go. And we thought Pakistan would lose wickets, just not 8 of them. So what's going to happen on day 4? comfortable Pakistan victory, I am expecting.
The quality of that attack and the fact that just watching Pakistan bat, it will take an incredible effort from Root, Stokes, Pope, you would assume, or the openers get them off to a great start. But I would assume it's probably going to be one of the three sort of stronger batsmen that's going to have to do something quite special. I just think that Pakistan are going to keep chipping away. We talked about a lot the amount of pressure that West Indies put on England with the ball. So far, Pakistan in one innings have been way above that level. And that's not downplaying West Indies, who I thought bowled incredibly. But West Indies didn't have Yasir Shah when it went flat. And Shadab Khan when it got even flatter. Like, you know, all credit to Roston Chase and to the way he bowled and Rakim for a couple of his deliveries. But it's not the same level. So with that in mind, it's a 250 is an incredible chase on the, considering that we haven't, other than Shah Masood, who, as you said, was dropped or missed twice, no one has really conquered batting on this pitch, I don't think. I don't think anyone's been that comfortable. Ollie Pope had a little while and Shah, once he was well set, had a longer period, but it's not easy to bat on. But England should have the batsman required to, because it is such a low chase, a couple of things can go right for you. I think you have a chance, but I just think the pressure should get to them. But it should be fun.
Oh, I think it'll be fun. It'll be a Peter English day for sure. The problem for England is that Dominic Sibley doesn't score very fast. But I suppose if you're being optimistic, they knock over Pakistan's last two quite quickly. I think that will probably happen. Dominic Sibley and Rory Burns just get through the first 20 overs. Doesn't really matter about runs. At least they've got the platform. The new ball's gone. But, you know, you are looking at either one batsman pulling out a Mark Butcher and then a couple of others, you know, going around him, or three batsmen scoring 50s and 60s. And when you look at that scorecard, well, only Shaun Masood, Babar Azam and Ollie Pope have gone past 50 in the match. So I think it's very difficult. The other thing is, when you look at a scorecard which has first innings 300 plus, second innings 200 plus, third innings 100 plus, that's only going in one direction. It's very, very rare for a scorecard to then suddenly bump up in fourth innings. So I'm tipping Pakistan to win. And there's going to be some big decisions to be made about the likes of Bess and Butler, I feel, and maybe even Anderson. But you know what, Jared? That is a topic for another day. Thanks for your time. We'll be back after day four on the Following On podcast. You can listen on Acast, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.